The Saturday market in Mochudi has a rhythm that doesn't exist anywhere else I've been in Botswana yet. It's 9 in the morning, the sun's already got that winter warmth, the kind that feels like a blanket fresh out of the airing cupboard, and the air smells like frying oil and warm bread. I'm standing at a stall where a woman's flipping Magwinya, those golden, puffy fat cakes, into a paper bag for me. 2 pulla each, about 15 cents, and I'm eating breakfast straight from the bag, trying not to burn my fingers. There's a sound here, beneath the chatter and the clinking of coins, that I've come to love. It's the soft thud of bags being set down, the shuffle of sandals on concrete, the low hum of negotiations over a pile of oranges. And over it all, the distant bass of a combi stereo as it pulls into the rank, doors sliding open, unloading a fresh wave of shoppers from Gaborone. It's the kind of noise that makes you feel like you're part of something, not just watching it. I paid about 15 pulla for a bag of Magwinya and a small carton of juice. There's a woman at the next stall selling dikgob, beans and samp, and I'm tempted, but I've got a plan for lunch. She catches my eye and smiles, and I nod, promising myself I'll come back. The market here is the heart of the village, and it's beating hard this morning. Everyone's still buzzing about the Center Chiefs. I'm told they won the GM Soccer Fiesta final last Sunday, beating Gaborone United 3-1 at Galaxy Stadium. The whole village has been talking about it since I arrived. I heard it from the guy who sold me my SIM card, from the woman at the guest house, even from the old man sitting outside the Kotla, who nodded slowly when I mentioned it and said, "We are proud." Football here isn't just a game. It's a matter of village pride, and for a dormitory town like Mochudi, a win like that carries weight. After the market, I take the dusty path up to Futhadikobo Hill. It's a short climb, and the view over the village is worth it. The tin roofs, the painted houses, the green of the Notwain River Valley beyond. The museum is housed in the old national school, built in the early 20s, and it's a beautiful, solid structure. Inside, it's cool and quiet. The Bakatla history is spread out in photographs and artifacts, and there's a whole room dedicated to the early 20th century, with these incredible pictures of the village from back then. The silkscreen workshop is the highlight for me. It's on the ground floor, and there's a lovely old press, the kind that looks like it's been there since the 60s. Today, there's a woman printing a design onto a tote bag, a simple geometric pattern in ochre and black. I buy one, partly because it's beautiful, partly because I need a bag that isn't my day pack. It costs about 120 pulla, which is around $9, a bit more than I'd pay in a Gaborone shop, but this is made here and I've watched it happen. I sit on the steps outside the museum for a while, watching the village below. The light is that particular winter gold, low and clear. I'm thinking about how Mochudi is different from Gaborone. The slower, quieter, more rooted. The capital is a city of arrivals and departures. All this energy and motion. Here, it's about continuity. The Kotla is still used for community meetings, the same way it has been for generations. The church on the hill has been there since 1904, a solid, simple structure of stone and wood. There's a political undercurrent here too, and it's not just the football. I've heard people talking about the industrial hemp trial plots at the National Agricultural Research and Development Institute, which the president, Duma Boko, visited recently. It's a strange thing to think about, this village, steeped in tradition, potentially becoming a hub for industrial hemp. But the way people talk about it, it's not about novelty. It's about jobs, about economic diversification, about finding a way for the younger generation to stay instead of commuting to Gaborone or leaving altogether. I walk back down the hill and head to the Kotla. It's a quiet time of day, but there's a small group of men sitting under the shade of a tree, talking. I don't interrupt, just nod as I pass. The new Kotla building stands next to the old one, a blend of the traditional and the modern that seems to sum up Mochudi. I'm not going to pretend I understand the intricacies of the tribal court system, but it's good to see it so alive, so integrated into daily life. For lunch, I find a small place near the market, off the main road. It's called 267, and it's the kind of local spot where the menu is on a whiteboard and the specials are whatever's been cooked that morning. I order seswa, the pounded beef with bulgogi, the sorghum porridge. It's rich, salty, unpretentious. The plate costs me about 70 pula, around $5. I sit by the window and watch the street. The slow parade of women with shopping bags, kids in school uniforms, a couple of old men on a bench, arguing good-naturedly about something I can't hear. After lunch, I wander over to the post office to check if I've got any mail, which I don't, but it's a good excuse to see that part of town. The official buildings, the post office, the library, the banks, are all clustered together, solid and a little dated, like small-town civic architecture everywhere. I pop into Standard Chartered to see if my card works at the ATM. It does, which is a relief. I withdraw a few hundred pula for the next few days. The machine dispenses the notes, crisp and new, and I'm reminded how far a little goes here. In the afternoon, I take a drive out past Pi Lane, along the back roads, just to see the landscape. It's dry, dusty, the grass a pale gold, the acacia trees sparse. A few goats cross the road, and a woman is walking along the shoulder with a bundle of firewood on her head. It's a scene that could be from 100 years ago, except for the occasional glimpse of a cell phone in her hand. I turn around at a village called Resisa, about 7 kilometers west, and head back into Mochudi. The sun's starting to lower, and there's a chill coming back into the air. I stop at a bottle store to pick up a local beer, the St. Louis Lager, about 25 pula for a cold one, maybe $2, and sit on the porch of my guest house, which is called Glorious Home, and it is in a modest way. The owner's son, a young guy named Tabo, is practicing football skills in the yard with a deflated ball. It's a peaceful evening, the kind that makes you feel like you've done something with your day, even if all you've done is walk and eat and think. Tabo tells me about the drag racing in Lobats tomorrow. Apparently a local guy, Jayon Firai, is racing a custom-built Audi S3, royal blue, and Tabo is determined to go, though I suspect his parents have other ideas. It's another facet of Mochudi I wouldn't have expected. This small town, with its traditional heart, also has a pulse for speed and noise. I'm not sure it's my thing, but it's good to know it's there. As the sky deepens to a dark blue, I'm thinking about the journey ahead. The plan is to head north to the Makatikati Pans and then west to the Okavango Delta, the flood season bringing life to the waterways. The Makoro trips, the wildlife, the vastness, it's all waiting. But for now, I'm here in this village and I'm learning that the places between the big attractions are often where you find the real story. There's a quiet satisfaction to this. Mochudi isn't on the typical tourist trail, but it's a place where you can feel the pulse of Botswana, where the past and the present live side by side without fuss. The rent here is about 3,500 pula a month for a modest house, which is around $260. Meals are tens of pulas, not hundreds. It's a place where a little money goes a long way and where time moves at a pace that lets you notice things. Tonight, I'm going to have a simple dinner at the guest house, probably some grilled meat and pap, maybe a bit of Morogo if I'm lucky. And then I'm going to sleep with the sounds of the village settling around me, the distant bark of a dog, the low murmur of a conversation carried on the wind. And I'll dream of the Makatikati, of salt pans stretching to the horizon, and of the Okavango, where the water is waiting. But that's for later. For now, there's this, and it's enough.